Welcome back. This is the third weekly installment of Jade's Sunday Afternoon Low Tea. I'm your host, Jade. Today is Monday, December 3rd, and obviously I'm starting off a little late today. Still recovering from my little hospital journey, not as quickly as I would like. In addition to which, I had more important concerns this weekend. I have a sick girlfriend. She has a bit of a chest cold. I'm considered to be a rather evil nursemaid. I like to concoct witches' brews and herbal medicines and, yes, teas. And pour these things down their throats and make sure they take their medicines and that they are eating and pushing lots of fluids and resting. So I was taking care of her this weekend. She seems to be on the mend. I'm very pleased with that. I try to take care of my peeps. There are some people who'd like to say that I bully them into wellness, and there may be a grain of truth to that. Anyway, moving on. It's so good to have you here with me today. We're drinking a calming and soothing chamomile, but it's not a tea. Today's topic is terminology and the correct usage thereof. We're going to start off with this tea. Egyptian chamomile. Commonly referred to as an herbal tea, only there's actually no such thing as an herbal tea. All tea, gets its name because it comes from the plant Camellia sinensis. Chamomile is a different plant. Technically, it's an herbal infusion, or to be really correct, a tisane, T-I-S-A-N-E. It's not a tea. They're called herbal teas just because people are people and they like to do things like that. But I'm a stickler. I'm also a grammar Nazi. Yeah, I'm a stickler for trying to use the right terms. And I try very hard. I don't always succeed. And I try to pronounce things right. I'm not even sure if I'm pronouncing Camellia. Is that Camellia sinensis? I think is the right pronunciation. I've never actually heard anyone say it out loud. I'm just reading it off the screen here. But Camellia sinensis. If someone here knows exactly how to pronounce this, do we have any botanists out there? Please let me know. I'll have my information at the end of this program. If at any point I say something that is incorrect, not a true fact, if you would like to correct me or just correct my pronunciation, I welcome that. As embarrassing as that may be, I do welcome that because it is less embarrassing to be corrected than it is to just go on saying things the wrong way all the time. It reminds me of a girl I knew who worked in the strip club that we used to make fun of because she would tell people, she picked her stripper name as Champagne, and she would go up to people and say, "Hi, my name is Champagne. It's Champagne because I only drink Moet." Yeah. For the record, it's pronounced Moet. Lots of people do actually call it Moet. I'm hearing more and more. I hear more people call it Moet now than actually say Moet. Which is sad, but true. But no, we would make fun of her for that. You actually picked your name, but you can't pronounce the drink that you named yourself for. Beautiful. And why did she pick Moet anyways? Because she could have picked Cristal. If you're going to be a stripper, you should be like, "I only drink Cristal Reserve." Cristal Reserve is delicious, by the way. I've only had it once. But it was truly like drinking bubbles and delight. So if anyone has a bottle of Cristal Reserve, they're popping open anytime soon, just invite me over. It is bubbles and delight. And I don't like champagne. Most champagne tends to give me heartburn unless it's very good champagne. The only inexpensive champagne I will drink is Veuve Clicquot. And past that, it's like the high-end Cristals I can do, like Cristal Reserve. More the expensive champagnes. Moet gives me terrible heartburn. I don't even like the taste. It's like a cross between a bad wine cooler and drops of beer at it. I don't understand why anyone drinks it, but just because it's champagne, I'm drinking champagne. It's gross. I always thought that I hated champagne until I had really expensive champagne. And then I discovered that, no, actually, I love champagne. I just was born with a sense of taste and I have no idea why. I just know what I like. I'm actually a scotch drinker. I love scotch. I really, really love scotch. I love blended scotch. Anyway, and cigars. Well, I'm not allowed to smoke cigars or drink scotch anymore. So we'll go back to tea. Egyptian chamomile. The best, the highest grade chamomile in the world. Chamomile is a member of the Aster family. It's an evergreen plant. This herb, it's useful in many medicinal properties. Now, before we go into those medicinal properties, I would like to state for the record, I am not a medical professional, and none of these uses are intended to diagnose or treat any illness. This is just an indication of what medical uses that it has been used for, or things I've read in books or things I've found online. Obviously, you can't trust everything you find online. You can't, just because it's been historically used for this in the past doesn't mean it even works for that. A lot of the older herbal remedies are just completely bogus and they're not supported by any scientific evidence whatsoever. It's just folktales and things like that. And you really need to go back and look through and see if there's any studies that have been done to even see if it works for these things. And once again, I can't diagnose or prescribe or give any medical advice whatsoever. So this is just for entertainment purposes only. So now I will go on. Okay, now that we've covered the disclaimer, legalese, cover my butt portion of the series. All right, now we move on. This herb comes from the banks of the Nile. It's used as a beverage for relaxation. Some people have used it to aid them in sleep, but valerian actually will work better as a sleep aid. This is more of a relaxation aid. It's not that strong. I used to do a little herbal medicine, but it's not really strong enough to help you sleep. It can smooth and soften the skin, chamomile oil. It's helpful in relieving chest congestion or a stuffy nose. You boil the chamomile and you inhale the vapor. This Egyptian chamomile, when you have a good quality tea, you can steep the tea several times. So by increasing the steeping time, you can infuse this. I've infused Egyptian chamomile 3 times easily. The flower has been used to flavor manzanilla sherry in Spain. It also makes a wonderful hair rinse. If you have blonde hair, it highlights the blonde. So if you lighten your hair or bleach it out, that also helps. It highlights and gives like blonde tints if you use it as a hair rinse all the time. So that's some wonderful things. Now, there are sometimes when you should not use chamomile. Two very important occasions. If you are pregnant, it does have some stimulating effect on the uterus, so they do not recommend it for pregnant women. It is also a member of the ragweed family, so obviously it's not going to unstuff your nose if you're allergic to ragweed. You're going to breathe it in, you're going to have some problems. If you are allergic to ragweed, you should not drink chamomile, you should not use chamomile medicinally. It has been used in medicine for many years. The ancient Greeks and Romans used it. It's got a long list of things that it was used for, half of which probably it doesn't actually work for. It does, however, it's a wonderful plant to grow in walkways. Between paving stones, you can walk on this plant. Unlike grass, if you actually walk on grass a lot, the grass will die. But chamomile doesn't seem to be bothered by tromping all over it. So you can actually grow like a yard of chamomile and just walk all over it. They also used to use it as a strewing herb. A strewing herb, back in medieval England, was an herb that they would just strew along the floors because they didn't have air fresheners. And everyone probably wandered around with manure on their shoes or whatever. But so it was a strewing herb, or herbs that they strew along the floor to sweeten the smell of a room. And it has this wonderful, it's a characteristic, they call it an apple-like flavor, but I always thought it was more of a honey-like flavor rather than apple, or maybe apple honey. Yes, chamomile. Lovely, lovely stuff. So that's the tisane that we're drinking right now, because as you know, I just got out of the hospital not too long ago and my stomach was a little upset. I had like some gastritis or some kind of inflammation, and I've been drinking that with a little infused with a little slippery elm bark infusion to help calm my stomach and to make myself feel better. And it's warm and I get lots of fluids. And so I'm taking care of myself. I hope you're taking care of yourselves too. It always makes me so happy to hear from my friends and make sure that they're doing well. All of you are my friends. Some of you are friends I haven't met yet. All of you are my friends. I got my phone back. Well, I got a new phone. My last phone was broken. I had destroyed it, as I do with all my stuff. I'm very hard on my things, especially when they go into my bag, whatever bag I have. There is a reason why we call, you know, how I treat electronic items, we call it jade proofing. Like, nothing is jade proof. It could be mil-spec, but it might not be jade proof. So I got the new phone, and I thought the old phone was not going to have any information that I could pull from it, because the screen was so busted. When you turned it on, it would just blink this white light, and that was all you could get. And it was really hard to turn it back off too. It would just blink white light. You had to pull the battery out. And even when I brought it in, she's like, I don't know if I can pull anything off of this phone. I'm like, please, see what you can do. And she did manage to get my contacts list, so I'm very pleased. So now I have all my contacts. They're on the new phone, which already has a case, and the case already has a huge scuff mark. Within one day, I had it, and it's a white case. And within one day, I have a huge scuff mark, a long one corner that's black. That looks, I don't know how it happened. I never know how it happens. It just looks like someone rubbed it along a street, along the asphalt. I don't understand how it gets there. It was only in my bag. I had the phone for 12 hours. Maybe I shouldn't have gotten a white case, I guess. Anyway, so I don't have any pictures for the contacts, which have to be loaded individually. And this phone, this is a Verizon phone. I buy cheap phones. I don't do the whole iPhone thing because I break my phone about 4 times a year, and 4 iPhones a year would be a little pricey. So I tend to get really cheap phones. This one ran about $100. It'll probably last me another 4 to 6 months. I think the last one lasted almost a whole year, which speaks very highly of Samsung. So this is an LG Extrovert. It's a $100 phone. It's, you know, cheap. The touch screen, a lot of people complain because the touch screen, you really have to stab it to get it to go. But I like that because I tend to stab my touch screens anyways. My boyfriend was complaining when he gave me an iPad, and he's like, you paw at it like a wild animal. And I'm like, well, that's because when I touch it regularly, nothing happens. So I have to stab the screen to make something happen. So this phone, everyone has to stab the screen to make something happen. And it's got the keyboard, which I'm in love with. I needed a phone with a keyboard. That's the other reason I don't have an iPhone, because they don't have pull-out QWERTY keyboards. That's important to me. I hate touchscreens anyways. I'm a button pusher. I'm a dinosaur. So we have my new phone, and it's not Mac friendly, and I don't have a PC except for this little netbook. So I've been plugging it into the netbook and then trying to load my pictures onto it for each contact, only my netbook is slow, incredibly, incredibly slow, and this phone's not exactly speedy either. So in an hour, I think I managed to put 5 pictures and match them up with the corresponding contacts. And I have like 100 people in this phone. So by the time I break this phone, I may have everyone's contact pictures in here. Or I'm going to run around. It's got a really bad little 2 megapixel. See, this is where I need someone to correct me. What am I talking about? Is it a megapixel camera? 2 megapixel? Anyway, to take this pictures of people, because that seems like it would be a lot easier than actually trying to download pictures from the internet onto my netbook and then upload them onto my phone. Anyway, terminology, correct usage. So we've already discovered that herbal tea does not exist. There is no such thing as herbal tea. It's a tisane. Or an infusion, if you don't like the word tisane. Tisane. I like that word. It's an interesting sounding word. I got really into pronouncing things correctly after a very embarrassing moment, possibly more embarrassing than, well, Actually, the stripper we never really embarrassed because no one ever told her that it was pronounced Moe. We just laughed at her. No one really liked this particular girl. She was not... Well, not only was she not all that bright, she was also incredibly unattractive looking. And the only reason she had a job was because she was basically blowing the owner. And yeah, so a lot of the girls, you know, were trying to be respectable dancers, as respectable as you can be as a dancer. And when you have someone who's basically earning their job on their back or on their knees, they tend to look down on that. That's not looked highly upon in that world. Anyway. So yeah, so my embarrassing incident had to do with the word ennui. I get really tongue-tied around the French words, especially since I learned them by reading. Growing up, I still read a lot, but growing up, I grew up in a neighborhood and none of the children in my neighborhood, I grew up in the hood. It's not neighborhood, I grew up in the hood. All right, I grew up in a hood. So they didn't read. I'm not even sure all of them could read. So of course they're not going to know how to pronounce anything in French. And I read a lot of historical romance novels, which involve some French words. And the word ennui, I was trying to put on airs and to make myself look smart. That backfired. And I was talking to this gentleman and I said to him, I don't know what we were talking about, but I was like, oh, you know, I get, it's always the same old thing. And I, you know, I get that NUI, I said. And he looks at me and goes, what? And I said it again, you know, the NUI. And he looks at me and goes, are you trying to say ennui? I felt about 3 inches tall. So now I double check, sometimes triple check, quadruple check, and try to make sure that I'm pronouncing words the correct way, especially the words in French. But I have a really hard time with that. So if at any point you hear me saying something incorrectly or saying something that is not true, I always, always welcome corrections, and my information will be at the end of this program. Ennui, it's ennui. And it's the Seine River. And it's the Thames. These are, I always get those ones. I always have to tell myself it's the Thames. Because I always want to say Thames. And I always want to say Seine instead of Seine. It just looks like Seine or Seine. It's such a strange word. The Seine. It's the Seine. It's the Thames. Got it. One day I will understand all that pronunciation stuff. Maybe one day I'll learn French. See, I don't know any words in French except for Seine and ennui. And, you know, c'est la vie. C'est la vie. Moving on. We're going to be doing some psychobabble words today. It's going to be great because that is a giant pet peeve of mine and I keep coming across it again and again. No one knows what the word passive aggressive means. Well, it's two words. So we're going to go over a little exercise teaching you passive aggressive. Are you ready? Good. Now, I always like to start with the Merriam-Webster definition, and we have that here. That is the being marked by or displaying behavior characterized by the expression of negative feelings, resentment, and aggression in an unassertive, passive way, therefore passive-aggressive. From the about.com website, the definition of passive-aggressive behavior, we have the phrase passive-aggressive is used to describe behavior or a personality trait that involves acting indirectly aggressive rather than directly aggressive. Passive-aggressive people regularly exhibit resistance to requests or demands from family and other individuals, often by procrastinating, expressing sullenness, or acting stubborn. Passive-aggressive behavior may manifest itself in a number of different ways. For example, a person might repeatedly make excuses to avoid certain people as a way of expressing their dislike or anger towards those individuals. And of course, we get some wonderful tidbits from Wikipedia. Passive-aggressive behavior should not be confused with passive resistance, also called conscientious objection. In conflict theory, passive resistance is a rational response to demands that may simply be disregarded with. Passive-aggressive behavior also should not be confused with covert aggression, which is better described as being catty. Covert aggression is when you're like deliberately, you know, like catty, when you're like deliberately, actively veiled hostile. like, women will know what we mean when I say catty. It's like, oh, you're wearing that? That's not passive aggressive. That's catty. Or as I say, like, pure bitch behavior. That's covert aggression, not passive aggressive. Passive aggressive, signs of passive aggressive behavior is when somebody pretends, okay, one thing of passive aggressive behavior, this is what used to get me my ex, would get, he used this wrong all the time, and he would be like I would be mad, and I would go and I would slam a bag or something down, and then I would turn around and be like, I don't appreciate you doing this, and he'd be like, I don't appreciate your passive aggressive behavior. And I looked at him and I was like, how am I being passive aggressive? Like, he's like, well, you slammed your bag down. And I'm like, okay, that's not passive aggressive behavior, which would make me even more mad, because I'm like, I'm not being passive aggressive. I'm being aggressive. Like, passive aggressive would be if I slam the bag down and he's like, what's wrong? And I'm like, nothing. That's passive aggressive, because now I'm saying nothing is wrong when obviously there's something wrong. Now I'm being passive aggressive. But what I would do is I would slam the bag down. I'd turn around and be like, I'm mad. I'm mad because of this. And then he would be like, you're being passive aggressive, and now you're being a little bitch. And I'm like, I'm not being passive aggressive. I actually screamed at him in his face one day. This is not fucking passive aggressive. This is being fucking aggressive. I'm telling you right now, I'm pissed the fuck off. And like, I'm like screaming crazy, because at this point I'm incensed, because now he's like, you know, acting like somehow I'm wrong. He was wrong. Okay. He was very wrong. And now he's saying I'm just acting like a baby and that I'm being passive aggressive. And I wasn't. Like, I literally was like, I was mad. I slammed my bag down. I turned around and looked at him and was like telling him like exactly why I was mad. And then he's like, you know, I don't appreciate this passive aggressive behavior. You don't need to act like that. And I'm like, what? Like, what the hell? Okay. Like, you can't put this back on me. You are wrong. And this is why he's my ex. Anyway, so that is one of the things that I find, you know, is not like passive aggressive behavior. And now my new girlfriend also, she has a strange definition of what she considers to be passive aggressive. And I haven't quite sussed out what she thinks passive aggressive is, but she just comes up with all kinds of things, and she's like, that's passive aggressive. And I'm like, no, that's just, oh no, it was hesitant. Like, she's like, some people say that like hesitant behavior is like passive aggressive, where it was like, yeah, no, you know, they couch things in ways, you know, where they're afraid, like, I'm just gonna like freak out, and then they just don't want to say things. And I was like, well, that is kind of passive aggressive, but they weren't actually being aggressive. Like, they were just beating around the bush to get to what they wanted to tell you, and they were trying to tell you in a way that would have you not get angry, because she's a very intense person, and I could see how some people would think that she would just like lose her mind, like, and so some people can't deal with that. They're very, like, you know, introverted or very shy, and if you don't know her, and you know, you might be put out by that. And so when you're approaching her with something like, oh, she's gonna be really mad about this, you're like, oh, okay, I have to like tell you this thing. And she's like, all right, just tell me what it is. And you know, and then you're like, oh, well, you know, see, like, this happened. And she's like, would you just fucking tell me like what the fuck is going on? And you know, that's what she'd be like. And I'd be like, you know, they'd be like, arr. And she's like, are you quit being so passive aggressive? Well, that's not passive aggressive. That's just scared. That's just scared and hesitant. So she was saying that was passive aggressive. I was like, that's not passive aggressive. That's just afraid of you. And sometimes, you know, like, I tell her, I was like, you terrify me. You're like a little Asian girl and you scare the crap out of me. And she's like, yay, I scare people. And I'm like, yay, that's why I like you. You scare me. Yay. You always have to look out for the little ones. You do, because we all, little girls, see, this is what guys don't understand. Like, you, because they're like, oh, like, she's a cute little thing. Like, I could just throw her over my shoulder. No, you don't understand. It's the cute little things. Like, we all have Napoleon complex, okay? We've all been treated like cute little things for so long. We have like this pent up aggression of like a 9 foot tall Goliath all pinned down into like a 5 foot tall crazy person. Like, it's all compressed. All that is just compressed down, and we'll cut you. Yeah, like those cute little things, like, you turn your back on us because we know we can't take you from the front. So, you know, you turn your back on us, we'll cut you. That's what's up. Like, so you know, check your food, because you may be in trouble. Like, we'll smile and stab you in the back and poison you and sew you in a sheet and beat you with a baseball bat. Like, you know, we're not going to fight fair. We're not going to win that way. So why would we? Makes no sense. Anyway, passive aggressive. So signs and symptoms of passive aggressive behavior. This is from Wikipedia, which says it's from the book Living with the Passive Aggressive Man. Ambiguity in cryptic speech, a means of creating a feeling of insecurity in others. Intentional inefficiency, like being late and forgetting things on purpose. Convenient forgetfulness, like, oh, I forgot. But you really didn't forget. You just didn't want to do it. Cold shoulder response, withdrawing into long silences. Now, my ex used to do it. No wonder he used to call me passive aggressive, because he would be the cold shoulder. You know, that's the, like, what's wrong? Nothing. And then not talk to you. Or even worse, this, like, the what's wrong? Well, if you had been paying attention, you would know what's wrong. Well, no, obviously not, because then I wouldn't be asking, hello, duh, I'm not a mind reader. Yeah, no, let me work on my psychic powers. Oh, wait, no, I know entirely what's wrong. Look, yeah, no, psychic brainwaves coming through. Hello. The fear of competition, the fear of dependency, the fear of intimacy as a means to act out anger. Passive aggressives often are not good at trusting. They make chaotic situations. They make excuses a lot. They are obstructionist and sulking. Like, instead of, they'll agree it's really weird, or victimization response. They tend to blame others for their own failures. So these are symptoms of passive aggressiveness. Passive aggressiveness in the workplace, they'll often agree. They'll be like, oh yeah, that sounds like a great idea. But then they'll, like, not do their part. Like, let's say on a project, they're like, hey, let's everybody get together and do this project. And they're like, that sounds like a great idea. And they're like, okay, well, you have to go do this and you have to go do this. And so then they'll get on their part and they're like, hey, have you got around to doing that? And they're like, oh yeah, no, I'll get right on that. And then it gets shelved in the circular file. Yeah, file 13, circular file. And they never get to it. And you're like, well, I thought, you know, why isn't this getting done? Oh no, I'm going to get to it. I'm going to get right on that. And then they never do. Well, they don't want to tell you that they don't want to do it. They don't want to tell you that it's a stupid idea. They just keep ignoring it and figuring it will go away. This is their striking back. They won't tell you to their face. They'll even smile. They'll be like, oh yeah, no, this is awesome. I will be right there. And then they never actually get around to doing any of that stuff. So it's terrible. I know, right? So that is the definition of passive aggressive. And it drives me crazy when people misuse that, because that's the one I find misused a lot on the psychobabble terms. Like, everybody just has their own definition. And a lot of people use, like, the covert. I've even seen it on, like, some of the psychology websites. These people should know better. They think catty behavior is passive aggressive. And in a way, it's a very fine line, because, like, the cold shoulder, you could call, but that's not quite catty behavior. Like, obviously, when somebody's like, oh, what's wrong? And they're like, fine, nothing's wrong. And obviously, you know, something's wrong. Like, there's a very fine line between that and someone just making underhanded, nasty remarks. Because that's, once they start making nasty remarks, they're not really being as passive. They're just being sneaky, right? They're being sneaky about their aggression. That's like, covert aggression is sneaky aggression. Passive aggression is aggression by, like, being obstructionist, by, like, just stopping the action but still smiling on the outside. So hopefully, and then there's me, who's just aggression. Like, it's not, there's nothing passive about my aggression. I'm just in your face. If I'm mad, everyone knows it. So anyway, and I'll tell you, I'll just be like, rah, you're mad. Like, everyone's going to know why I'm mad. Okay. But We're gonna calm ourselves down a little now, because it is approaching the end of the program. And so I hope you're not mad because I was late. We got a lot of sick people going on here. It's just that time of year. So once again, before I do the meta prayer, if you want to get a hold of me, if you need to correct me, or if you need to vent, if you need to be aggressive at me, if you need to vent, this is Jay Lerone. And you can reach me directly through the Podomatic website. It allows you to message through there. It's Jade Lerone. It's jadzia.podomatic.com. That's spelled J-A-D-X-I-A .podomatic, P-O-D-O-M-A-T-I-C.com, jadzia.podomatic.com. And that is where these podcasts were originally recorded through. And so I don't know if you're getting these from iTunes or not, but that was where originally it is, jadzia.podomatic.com. And I have a little profile on there, and they'll let you send me messages. And you can let me know. And especially if there is a particular terminology that drives you crazy that people misuse, if you throw that to me at some point this week, I may just do a little add-on on next week's program. So I would love to hear which things just drive you, just get your goat, like as far as terminologies and misuse of terminologies go. Anyways, I hope you have a lovely week, and here we go with our meta prayer. Peace, may it find me, may happiness unwind me. Content and fulfilled, may love be what defines me. May I learn kindness toward myself, for affection I have earned. May I be granted what I need, may wisdom come with all I've learned. May I be protected from all harm and released from all my fears. May inner peace and ease mark the end of suffering all these years. May I finally be awakened from dream illusions that I see. May I finally be liberated, wake to self, and self set free. Stay lovely, my friends. See you next time.